Chapter 15. It Ain't the Ritz. Janice led Kylie through her bedroom window to the wrought iron fire escape. The steps had not been shoveled since it snowed, as if fires would never happen in the cold. Janice apologized over her shoulder as they gingerly maneuvered the slippery staircase. "Sorry, but we need to go this way as a precaution. We don't know if you're being watched, so I didn't want to go out the front." "No problem," Kylie said to Janice's back. "But this is a fine time to think of that. If you remember, we already went in the front." Kylie suddenly wasn't feeling so safe in Janice's custody, since her judgment wasn't very rational. But she obediently followed her across to the alley to her car, since she had no alternatives. "Nothing's happened to you with me, right?" "So far. It hasn't been an hour, though." "Hop in," Janice said, unlocking Kylie's door. Kylie brushed the snow off her shoes. "Wow," she said, admiring the computer equipment mounted on the dashboard, before throwing her bags in the back. Once they both were buckled in, Janice tore down the alley to Berkeley Street that fed directly into Starrow Drive, where only hours before Kylie had been driven past the same view as a captive. Janice was quiet for a while, and then admitted, "You're right, Kylie. That was a dumb thing for me to do. I promise, no more mistakes." "Thanks. I will hold you to that." Within minutes, they were back at Government Center. Janice lurched the car into a parking spot on the street, and they rushed to the bureau. Stuart met them in the same conference room, and Kylie told him everything that had transpired since earlier that morning. "I should have locked you up, but never mind that now. We will revisit it later. What can you tell us about Fox's beach house?" Kylie described the house and the street, wishing she had OMG set up on her new computer. She remembered the envelope Misha had given her. "Do you want me to try OMG?" she asked him. "It might help." "Thanks, but at this point, we can already look up this kind of stuff. What do you remember about the guy at the bait and tackle place?" "I was just there for a couple of seconds, so not much. He was bald, kind of a burly guy. I think he was wearing a plaid shirt and had a reddish, scraggly beard. He might have been in his 40s or maybe his 50s. I can't say for sure, but I do know that he drives a funky white pickup truck." "What kind of truck was it?" "I don't know. A big one. It was kind of rusty, maybe a Ford or a Chevy." Stuart punched a number into his phone. "Terry, we need some backup in Newburyport. Can you put some people on this? I'll meet with you in 5 for a briefing." He turned to Kylie and shook a stern finger at her. "I want you to stay out of trouble. Do you think you can possibly do that?"
"Hey, this wasn't my fault, but yes, I'll try my best. What's happening with Fox's lab? Did they find anything?"
"We'll let you know," he said. "Okay, Janice, take her. And I do not want her going anywhere alone, else until we clear this up. Understood?" "Yes, sir," Janice nodded. She smiled at Kylie, but even her friendly grin couldn't distract Kylie from the fact that she was undeniably in danger.
"This is just protective custody, right?" she asked, aware that she was practically a prisoner.
"Exactly," said Janice. "Let's consider this more like hanging out together, okay?" Kylie gave her an incredulous look.
"Nothing personal, since you seem pretty cool, but it's not exactly like we're friends. Here's the poop.
Ever heard the expression, fake it until you make it?" asked Janice.
"Honey, you might not think I'm your friend, but when it comes down to it, I might be the best friend that you have right now."
"Right. We'll be fake friends then." Janice extended her hand to Kylie, who shook it.
"Nice to meet you, fake friend. Now let's get you into the car."
Once buckled in, Janice wound the car around some streets to make sure that no one was following them before taking to ramp onto Route 93. Kylie relaxed a little into her seat as they crossed from Boston into Somerville and neared the exit for Kendall Square.
"Do you think we can stop for a sandwich or something? I'm starving," asked Kylie, longing for the familiarity of Jolt, a good cup of some strong coffee and panini.
The thought made her mouth water. "No can do. We'll be at the safe house soon, and there should be a little food there. I'll make you something." Kylie's voice dripped with sarcasm.
Thanks, Mom, Janice chuckled. You're pretty independent, aren't you? Think of me as more like a friendly babysitter with a gun. Look, Kylie, I know this is hard for you, but it's pretty obvious that you're in danger. I'm watching you for your own good. You do understand that, right? She fixed her bright blue eyes on Kylie. What will help us the most is letting us do our jobs. Understood?
I do. I just think that I can do something and I shouldn't be cooped up. You realize that if I hadn't run OMG and found out about Fox and the Lily virus, then you'd never have known until it was too late. If I hadn't gone back to my apartment, you'd never have known about Fox's beach house or how crazy he is. Think of me as an asset.
Janice thought about this for a moment.
True. And we're grateful. But since you did find this out, and especially now, you need protection. You are done. End of story. Got it?
Yes, I got it, Kylie said glumly. How long have you been doing this, anyway?
Well, I've been in the field for about a year now.
A year? Kylie wondered if that was supposed to make her feel safe, which it didn't. She was now positive that she'd do just as well on her own.
So you're a rookie. What made you decide to join the FBI?
Janice answered, keeping her eyes on the road. My dad was a teacher, and he was killed by a bomb that some psycho threw at his school about 5 years ago. I could have become a cop, but the FBI seemed more far-reaching and was a place where maybe I could do some good and prevent terrible things from happening. I know it's not going to bring my dad back, but I feel good about what I'm doing.
Wow, that's tough about your dad, said Kylie, looking at Janice with new appreciation.
They might be close in age, but Kylie suddenly felt younger, since Janice had actually experienced suffering and pain. Other than losing Simon, Kylie had never even known anyone who had died. Her life had been pretty soft, and now, by comparison, she felt like an inexperienced child. Even with Janice's new mystique, Kylie wasn't so sure that she could keep her safe.
Janice cut over two lanes to exit in Medford. She drove through the town and then veered off towards Arlington. She turned onto a tree-lined street with older duplex houses and turned into a driveway of a tiny house about halfway down the block. She parked the car.
Okay, kiddo, we're here.
Janice led Kylie into the back door, which opened to a mudroom. The floor was imitation marble linoleum tiles, yellowed from age and some grimy-looking white walls that probably hadn't been painted in 20 years.
Janice deadbolted the lock and threw her parka on a hook, revealing a gun and a holster around her waist. She was slim like Kylie, but Janice had a sturdier build, as if she'd been a serious athlete or a cheerleader.
Put your coat over there, Janice pointed to a hook.
Bring your stuff. I'll show you your room and you can make yourself at home. She led Kylie through a sunny yellow but 1960s-style kitchen to a long hallway with worn plank floors and old etched glass ceiling light fixtures. At the end of the hall, Janice stopped outside a bedroom with the door open.
It's small, but it works. I'll get you some towels and put them in the bathroom, which is across the hall. Sorry it's so bare bones.
She left Kylie alone. The room reminded her of a monastery, its stark white walls backdropped a cot and a dresser with its veneer peeling like tongues. All it needed was a large wooden cross on the wall to complete the effect. She opened the rickety blinds and gazed out at a postage stamp backyard, edged with a rusty chain-link fence. The place gave Kylie the creeps. It looked like the perfect place for a shootout or a murder.
Anxious to access OMG, she gingerly sat on the faded chenille bedspread that covered the lumpy-looking rollaway. As she removed her laptop box from the bag, Janice hollered from the kitchen.
I found some eggs in the fridge. Is a cheese omelet okay?
Sure, that sounds great, Kylie yelled back,
admiring the beautiful apple packaging. The clean, white box, pristine and well-constructed, gave her a certain comfort in her shabby surroundings. She unpacked the laptop and carefully went through the setup.
What's your internet password? She yelled into the kitchen. Aftermath, Janice said and spelled it out. Kylie was about to install OMG when Janice called her into the kitchen for lunch. This looks great, said Kylie, sitting down at the old Formica table, her appetite suddenly raging. Janice had set out worn plastic plates with omelets and buttered white bread toast cut into triangles. Kylie hadn't had white bread since she was in third grade, when her mother decided that they would only eat whole grains. Do you drink coffee? Janice filled her cup and held up a mismatched empty one for Kylie. Definitely. Just black is fine, thanks. She took a bite of toast while Janice set her coffee on the table and sat down across from Kylie. So what now? Asked Kylie. She cut a bite of her omelet and popped it into her mouth. It was perfect, with cheddar cheese oozing out from the middle. It was possibly the best she had ever tasted. I'm not sure. They're trying to solve this thing, so hopefully you won't need to stay here too long. No matter what you say, I feel like I'm locked up. Look, I told you, you're not locked up. In fact, you don't even have to be here. Staying here is for your protection, and if you choose to go out, you can. But we can't make sure that you are safe. Maybe you should think of it as a little vacation. It ain't the Ritz, honey, but hey. Janice's phone beeped with a text, and she pulled it out of her pant pocket. Two lines over her nose deepened into a W, and she pursed her lips as she rapidly typed a response with both thumbs. When she set the phone down, she stared at Kylie. They found Fox dead at his beach house. He was shot.